time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
It is Wednesday. It is the midway point of your work week. We're happy that you can join us. We've got a ton to get into today as we have a handful of guests. Our normal Wednesday guests. Hour number three. I don't know who enjoys it more. Sean Fox coming on my show and bothering me. Or you guys, my buddy, listening to a life more miserable than ours, which is a good thing. Makes us feel a lot better. Oh, the professor. How is he feeling this morning? Yikes and doodles. What's Buffalo doing? Although his response was, it's time. It was time. A trade in the NFL that involves the Bills and Texan Stephon Diggs going to Houston for second round pick. And the Texans then got two additional picks to come with Stephon Diggs. How's that happen? Why does it always feel like when the Saints make a trade, we send picks to teams? How's that happen? Somebody let me know how that works. Get yourself a starting receiver and two picks. Love to know how that works.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more than what that Camel Wednesday hump day.
Today is Shock Cheat and Digital Underground. Caleb the Camel. And Denver Broncos head coach Sean O'DePate. Got a lot to get into coming up in hour number one. Your New Orleans Pelicans. Oh, my goodness. Is it a must-win? What do you call in this game? Give me a title for this game against the Magic. Words of wisdom. Uncle Earl. I think he already thinks it's Friday. He is... been having a good old time on our group conversation and thread. As maybe he'll stop by tomorrow. We'll be at Katie's. I'm currently trying to figure out how we're going to do the show outside because it is absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful. Enjoy it. Yesterday, thank you to Sean Fasan for having me on. The final say, final play, final something over there on Fox 8. Sorry, Sean. Me, Jeff Duncan. Yes, yesterday talking little LSU, Iowa, Pelicans, Saints draft, all of that and more. Had fun doing that as well. And, we're just kind of talking about how quickly everything is happening here. The NFL draft is 3 weeks from tomorrow. It's also 3 weeks from tomorrow, the start of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. I already spoke with Mr. Thomas Long. We will be broadcasting out there again like we normally do on those Thursdays and Fridays from the 18th. We do it for you. We don't do it for the view and the food and the char-grilled oysters and all that. We do it for you, I promise. That's what we do it for. But yeah, I've been going back and forth on the group thread. And we're just trying to figure out where we do it outside tomorrow because we'll be over there at Katie's, John Forcade. And I think Aaron Summers is going to stop by as well and talk NBA Saints here as well as we get closer because tomorrow will be 3 weeks until the NFL draft. And as we touched on, the big news in the world of the NFL was the fact that the Texans made a trade and they pick up Stephon Diggs, which is kind of a big deal, kind of a big news when it comes to them being able to pick up that receiver. And then also the Texans, as I said, got picks in return as well. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. So the Bills send Stephon Diggs to the Texans in exchange for a 2025 second round pick. Now, I was listening to a show nationally just a little bit ago at the start of 11 o'clock hour, and apparently this was in the works and in talks since the combine, but the Bills were hoping for a second round pick this year, a 2024 pick this year. But they couldn't get it. Texans wouldn't budge, so they settled for a 2025 second round pick. So it's not even a pick for this year, it's a pick for next year that the Bills will be getting. Also, the Texans receive a 2025 fifth round pick and sixth round pick. Yeah, that's right. So they get a starting receiver to help C.J. Stroud. And remember, they got Joe Mixon. They traded with the Bengals to get their starting running back. So those two guys instantly come in, help out a little bit more, and they get two picks next year. That's crazy. Saints always seem to send draft picks when they make trades, huh? Bills, by the way, will also carry about $31.1 million in dead money for Diggs. As one reporter says, pretty much a disaster of an extension for them. He wound up paying, or they wound up paying, an extra $20.9 million in 2022 and 2023 to come away with a net of less than a second rounder next year. It's not this year. Next year is what that is. So, again, lots of reaction on that. We'll touch on that. But 800-998-1003 on the Ruderman Can caller and guest hotline. Pels fans, give me a title for tonight's game. Is it must win? Is it you better win? Kind of win. Wait, what kind of game is this? The importance level here. There's only seven games left. You want to look at it interestingly? Next week's the last regular season week. That's it. Pels play tonight, then play tomorrow against the Spurs, who, by the way, I don't know if you watched at all, even the highlights of the game between the Spurs and Nuggets. Denver won 110-105. Wembanyama had 23. Jokic had 42. They went back and forth, man. He is playing some insane basketball. He blocked Nikola Jokic four times. Wemby. That's Friday. The Magic beat the Pelicans just a couple weeks ago in Orlando. And that's a game that the Pels defensively had a lot of miscues, per the Graf, who was talking about it this morning to me. And look, you got to win these games here. You got a little help yesterday. A little help. Clippers lost to the Kings 109-95. Mavericks lost to the Warriors 104-100. And I don't know if you noticed, but this just in, the Warriors are playing a lot better. The Lakers are playing a lot better. The Lakers won yesterday against the Raptors 128-111. And you look at the Western Conference standings starting today, or going into tonight's action, Denver in first place by a half game over second place Minnesota and a half game over third place OKC. The top three teams are separated by a half game. They all have 50-plus wins. 53 for Denver, 52 for Minnesota and OKC. The Clippers are 5.5 back in fourth, 47-28. Dallas 5, New Orleans 6, still above that play-in by one game now over Sacramento. Remember, the Pels have a back-to-back, Golden State and Sacramento, next weekend. I say Thursday, Friday, travel, come home, chill, rest, whatever, Saturday, Sunday, 2:30 p.m., you take on the Lakers. 2:30 p.m., you take on the Lakers. Not much time to rest there. You're hoping those three games don't mean what I'm hoping doesn't mean, and I won't even mention it. Don't want to even speak it into existence. But here's the thing that you need to know going into today. Below that play-in line, you got the Kings, 8.5 back. Again, one game behind of you. So let's look at it that way. One game back at the Pels. The Suns are one game back at the Pels in eighth. New Orleans is at Phoenix Sunday afternoon. The Lakers, 10 games back overall. New Orleans, 7.5 back overall with 7 to play. They're 7-3 in the last 10. They've won 2 straight. Golden State in the 10th spot. 11.5 back overall. 4 full games back of you with 7 to play. So this is all I need to tell you when it comes to what can happen today. Here are clinch and elimination scenarios, right, for the NBA today. Atlanta can clinch a play-in tournament spot with a win or a Brooklyn loss. Boston clinches the best overall record, Roy, with the win. Brooklyn can be also eliminated with the loss or an Atlanta win. Now, New Orleans can clinch a top 10 seed with a win. So not only is it big enough and important enough tonight's game in so many areas. You want to snap the two-game losing streak. You've lost three of four at home in the six-game homestand. The Magic beat you the last time you played them just 2 weeks ago. You got to get this win. You've got to get this win. But by doing so, you at the very least get in the play-in spot. Like, you can't be worse than 10th. Now, that obviously, that's not the goal. Obviously, everyone wants them to do better, be better. And that is not what we're talking about here. But with six left, if you win today, you're at least in. Now you work on your seeding. It would be an absolute shame if the Pels had to play 9 or 10. It would stink if you go 7 or 8. Because you are absolutely good enough to be 6 or better. You might even be 4th or 3rd better. And what I mean by that is, there is no denying now the Brandon Ingram effect on this team. And remember, throughout the season, there's ebb and flows. Who is it? Zion? Is it B.I.? Is it C.J.? Do you trade either of those around the trade deadline? We all tend to have those discussions, water cooler, at the bar, on the air, whatever, right? Well, boys, this team missing Brandon Ingram. And it's not even the scoring. They're missing his playmaking ability, the assist stability. He leads the team in assist. And it's a big difference when you have them or not. Pelicans in March with Brandon Ingram were 7-10. They're now 3-3 with them. In March, just alone in March, 114 points was the average. Pels 107. They have not been able to score like they need to the last couple of games. Field goal percentage, it's gone from 50% to 45%. It's a big difference. Assist from 28 to 24. Points in the paint from 53 to 46. This just in, Brandon Ingram is kind of a big deal when it comes to this offense because that's what he's been most of the season. The facilitator, helping with the spacing, and doing all those different aspects and avenues. So that is why his absence stinks. Now, he's going to be reevaluated on Friday. Yesterday at practice, you saw him shooting on the court. I'm not going to say jump shooting because he wasn't jumping. He wasn't leaving the court. They're going in progress. They're going in steps. They're doing what they have to do in order to get to that point for him to hopefully come back before the end of the regular season. I'll be happy if he comes back towards the end of that road trip. You know, Sacramento, Golden State would be great. The Lakers. You're going to need him on one of these. This was the CJ McCollum Show podcast that he does with ESPN, and he was asked specifically about B.I. and the effect that this team has now without him.
Well, we're definitely missing him, especially in a game like last night when, you know, obviously we weren't getting stops defensively. Outside of that first quarter, we played extremely well defensively. We played pretty well offensively. I think we had 29 assists, only 9 turnovers, you know, 16 second chance points. We were getting fast break opportunities. And we did what we were supposed to do outside of that first quarter. We just gave up 52 points to one guy and held them outside of that to 121 points. And, you know, outside of that 40-point quarter, we held them pretty much under 26 the rest of the game per quarter, outscoring them in the third and fourth, but wasn't enough, obviously, because we got down by so much. B.I. obviously is great offensively. He's improved defensively. He rebounds the ball. He initiates our offense. He can score, three-level score. Really good in the mid-range, which is what you need against great defensive teams. And just his presence out there makes the defense have to account for another all-star level player. So we do miss him. He's around the team every day. He's rehabbing. He's doing some of our stuff, pre-practice, post-practice, taking part in a lot of that stuff. You can see him ramping up, you know, pool work, Ultra G, which is the anti-gravity machine where you treadmill, but like you can kind of reduce, you know, body weight. So he's continuing to make progress in the right direction. On all accounts. I don't know what Shams said something about him being evaluated later this week and the Pelicans being optimistic that he can resume playing approximately 3 weeks into his recovery. I don't know about all that stuff. I don't know his timelines. I don't know what the team is kind of discussing behind closed doors, but I know that he's progressing and very encouraged with, you know, the progress that he's making, and he seems to be in good spirits despite not being able to play and having to watch us during this crucial stretch run.
Yeah, look, it's treading water, right? That's where you are right now. Have to tread water. Have to try to secure that sixth seed. But he's a big difference, and it's crazy. Todd said it as we go to break here. They've been able for most of this season to avoid the catastrophic injury, right, to one of those big players and avoid a lot of time. I know CJ missed some time. Zion missed a game or so, but he's played most of them. B.I. has been able to avoid this injury. It is just literally the worst timing. The biggest homestand, the toughest. I mean, look, there's a reason I called it a gauntlet months ago. And to not have him in that aspect of the assist maker, the dish, the facilitator, was something that maybe a lot of us didn't expect would be a bigger thing than it is now. But you take away points from Trey from the bench, Jose not having to be played here as well because of a hip check. Just terrible timing. You got to get tonight, though. Somehow, someway, you got to get tonight. When we come back, we'll hear more from head coach Willie Green from practice yesterday. We'll take your phone calls as Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing over on the Gulf Coast. We're going to be there on Friday. I'll give you some specifics coming up next segment as to what is going to be happening during that remote. So we definitely want you to come on out here as well. NoWakeOutfitters.com is the way to chime in and see what they're all about online at your convenience. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started Frosted Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003 on the Rudiment Can caller and guest hotline. If you like to chime in, Pels fans, is this a must-win? Is this a you better win? Is this a please win? I don't know. Give me a title for this game tonight against the Magic, as it is an important game for them as well. They're 2.5 back of the Cleveland Cavaliers in third. They're currently tied with the New York Knicks, 44-31 in fourth. Same amount of games back behind Boston. A game and a half ahead of the Pacers from 6. So 4-6 is a game and a half difference. This is a huge game for the Magic. It would be just like the Pels trying to secure, you know, home court in the first round. And how big would that be, right, for them here as well? Again, all these games from here on out matter, not just to the Pelicans, but the teams they're playing in.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Yeah, as always, our lead brought to you by Lakeview Massage and Therapy and Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic, the good doctor, Dr. Josh Roulette, who has been to these games, season ticket holder, hoping the Pels can get into that sixth spot or not. But as I mentioned, this game matters to the Magic. And why does it matter to the Magic? Because as I just told you, it's for that fourth spot. It was interesting. Chris Canty this morning on Unsportsmanlike, the morning show on ESPN before T-Bob and them take over, is he thinks the Magic are not only good, they can win the first round series.
With the Magic, if they play the Knicks, which is what their first round series would be, because that's the 4-5 matchup, if they play the Knicks, they've got home court advantage. The Knicks might not have Julius Randle or Mitchell Robinson. With the front court of Banchero and Wagner, why couldn't the Magic win that series again?
You really could see the Knicks losing to the Magic, CeCe?
Yes.
Hey, we saw that game in Orlando. They got size. They have a really good defense as well. Pels better show up today. And what I mean by that is they better be ready, because obviously the Magic play like they were ready. And I think that was the one thing that I remember from that game that I took out of that. Remember talking to the guys after that game as well. It sure felt like Orlando felt like it was a bigger game for them. That's one thing I remember JD saying over and over again. Orlando came out looking to say, hey, all this hype about the Pels. Remember, it was right before, or it was during the week. It was the back-to-back, Orlando and the Heat on that Thursday, Friday. And if you remember, that's when you had all that talk about Zion. Maybe he is good. Maybe the Pels are good. Watch out for them. And Orlando showed up. They showed up early. They were aggressive. They were doing all those different aspects of it. So that's going to be the key going into this game tonight, getting that first start. What is the message of the team, Willie Green?
They know how I feel about them. We have more than enough to go after these teams, compete, and give ourselves an opportunity to win. But we have to recognize that the margin for error is smaller. We got to put together a 48-minute game. And our game plan discipline has to be at a high level from start to finish. When it is, we have opportunities to win. When it's not, those are going to be tougher games for us.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so after practice yesterday was asked, you looked at the tape. You know how coaches like to say, I look at the tape, see what I saw. What do you see?
Our first quarter start was poor at best. And we were too casual. Our sense of urgency has to go up, and our guys understand that. Our margin for error is a little smaller. You don't have Brandon, you don't have Jose. So our ability to come out with the mentality, to have physicality, to hit first, has to be there from the start. And last night it wasn't.
I think one of the things that also stood out in that game, and it stood out so far in this four-game homestand too, is the Brandon Ingram effect, your coach.
It's tough to replace B.I. and what he brings to this team. And then at the same time, we're playing against some of the toughest teams in the league that are really that have really solid defensive teams. So they make you take tougher shots. They make you have to move the ball side to side. Normally the first action isn't there. So it's a combination of those two. It's missing Brandon, missing Jose. But then playing against the tougher teams, we just have to rely on each other even more.
So how do you fix it? I think we can all see it. How do you fix it? You just heard him. Moving the ball side to side, doing those different aspects of it. How do you fix it?
Well, it starts on the defensive end. Our ability to get stops, rebound the ball, allows other guys to get into the offense even faster. And then from there, just continue to trust. And that's hard to do when you face an adversity, is to trust. Our natural instinct is, okay, I got to do it myself. But collectively across the board, trust each other, trust the work that you put in here on the floor. For the most part, we're doing it. But we, like I said before, we have to put together more of a 48-minute game. And right now, it's three quarters. It's two and a half. It's three and a half. We got to get closer to four quarters.
And I get it, because it is, for me, frustrating. Of how do you not know
that is what you
need to come up with and play that way and understand they got to play all four quarters. You got to finish out games the way you do and start out games a certain way, match the level of intensity. I don't know if it's the right answer. I don't know if it's one that you like hearing. It's what it makes the most sense to me. Just got to learn it. It's a young team. I hate saying it. I'm so tired of saying it. I'm with you. Grouse said it during the broadcast. School's out. You got to start applying a lot of these lessons. I hear you. They did against Milwaukee from OKC. But that's the reality of it. You haven't gone through this, right? Zion hasn't gone through, and this team hasn't gone through, where all of a sudden, okay, your assist leader is gone. Zion's playing the way he is, and teams at that level, that kind of defensive level team, are playing him certain ways, right? Phoenix played him differently. They kept the big under the rim. They, in Boston, forced the Pels' offense to start beyond the three-point arc. So they had to start their offense further away from the basket and disrupted their timing, disrupted their spacing. That is something that Larry Nance says is the key right now that teams are trying to take away.
You just got to stay spaced. I mean, obviously, you know, teams are going to load up on Z. Teams load up on your best player. That's just everywhere. We're going to see that in the playoffs. We're going to see that tomorrow in the next game, in the next game, in the next game. So just got to continue to work space around them. Again, I'm trying to expand my game in terms of shooting more threes. JV is as well. We're just trying to figure out what works. Like I said, we're going to see it in the playoffs. So probably good we see it right now.
Look, what I said yesterday, if there's a good thing about this stretch right now in this gauntlet, you're getting a real-world, live test of what you're going to see. And really, you can expand that gauntlet to when they started with Orlando and Miami. But you're seeing really good coaches, really good talent, and it's not an excuse. So I try to get 4K'd, stop sipping on those teas over there and understand. It's not that the Pels stink and have no talent. Look at the Western Conference. It's an absolute joke with talent. I brought this up to Jim this morning on the Pels podcast. Golden State is 10th, battling for a play-in. Right now, it's them and the Lakers for a win-or-go-home game. Steph Curry's a Hall of Famer. That team is still very good. And, oh, by the way, Draymond Green just absolutely WWE-style face-gouged Luka yesterday. Wasn't even a foul called on him. By the way, that game was at Golden State. By the way, next Thursday, Friday, one of those days, Pels are at Golden State. So just be ready. All right? That's one of those things, honestly. I'm already looking at the game. I just hope Draymond didn't get a Pels player suspended and he doesn't hurt somebody. Because they clearly are not going to do anything about this clown. They're going to let him do whatever he wants. You just look at that game now. You hope it doesn't mean something to your standings, but it likely will. But you just hope. And actually, get out of there without getting hurt and get over here and go take on Sacramento and the Lakers. I mean, I'm serious. Like, that's how I feel about that game. I think it's Sacramento and then Golden State. So that's where they are. But here's the point that I'm trying to make. The Warriors are 11.5 games back of first place Denver. In 10th. In the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks are 12 games back of Boston in 2nd. That's how tight the West is. You have 10 teams inside the separation that Boston has on Milwaukee. So you can say, well, Boston's been really that good. Sure, that's true. But Golden State has 41 wins. The Sixers have 41 wins, and they'd have a lot more if Joel Embiid plays. Came back yesterday. Think he made a difference? They beat OKC. He was key at the end. But again, you look at the Pels, man. And the teams that are below them and the teams that are above them, stock full of stars and all that, it's hard. And that's the problem you're learning. Stinks. You have to learn on the fly. Larry Nance on the state of the team.
I mean, look, there are ebbs and flows every season. You know, it takes an adjustment to learn how to play without B.I. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's we're playing some good teams and we're down a major figure of ours. So, nobody feels sorry for us, neither do we. And we're just going to keep on plugging away.
It is. Quick break. When we come back, Corey Brown, head coach of the NOLA Gold. He joins us on Wednesdays at 12:30. Blake Dean couldn't join us yesterday. Will join us today. Head coach of the UNO Privateers at 1:15. Ralph Marlboro, Sean Fox over at 2:15. And, of course, your phone calls the rest of the way. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003. Let's try to get it. Coach Corey Brown's out on the pitch during practice right now. So we'll try to get that here in a quick second. In the meantime, give me some time to play a little bit more from Willie Green yesterday. And as he said, trust is the key. Missing Brandon Ingram. Larry Nance saying some adjustments to it. And more than anything, he also says there's a need to be comfortable with some of the lineups that he's using right now, and it just takes time.
It is. I think we're growing in that area. We're growing with our lineups. The more we look at it, the numbers have been really good for us. Late in the game, I think 4 minutes left, we went small and cut it to 7. And it gives us space, more playmaking on the floor. And once again, we love what Larry and JV brings with our group as well, but this gives us another option.
That is head coach Willie Green. A little bit more on the Pels game tonight against the Magic as we welcome in Ryan Fitzgerald, general manager of the NOLA Gold. They get ready to get back in to play in action this weekend, sir. As always, appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Gus, as always, thanks for having me, brother. Doing great. Beautiful day. Great to see you live. Great Saturday game coming.
Any way you can bottle up this weather for Friday, since we'll be out there at the Gold Mine, and also Saturday when you guys kick it off there at 3 o'clock.
Yeah, double down Friday and Saturday. Yeah, unreal.
It should be.
I just looked at the weather app. It should be really, really nice. So, you know, going to have a nice crowd there as well. And, look, we're going to get into the game and all that. But I love what you guys are doing on Saturday. Rock and roar for the gold. Yeah. As you're going to have a little Audubon Zoo participation. Proceeds from the game are going to be benefiting LCMC Children's Hospital. All of that and more. So go watch a little rugby, pet some animals, and help the kids. That's pretty good.
Yeah, really excited. I don't know if you saw yesterday, and you know, we had an unbelievably awesome day yesterday. A huge shout out to LCMC and Children's Hospital. They're unbelievable people, but our whole team was able to go down there, coaching staff and everything, and we got to scrum against an ambulance, and we got to, you know, our whole team getting you know, pushing an ambulance down the street. So it was pretty awesome. Plus, our guys got to go, you know, obviously inside the hospital and hang out with all the kids and everything. So it was a really humble, you know, just, you know, life-changing kind of type of experience for a lot of the guys. You know, a lot of guys being over here from New Orleans for the first time, get that interaction with the kid at Children's Hospital and Children's Hospital.
Right.
Second to none. That's unbelievable. So, it was a great day, and we're looking to roll that momentum into Saturday.
If they bring a snake, the zoo, are you going to pet the snake? Are you good with the snake?
That's actually the least favorite thing in my entire
really? Life. Really? You're a Marine, though. I mean, I would think,
yeah,
like,
know,
you know,
Marine,
you basically think, pet exactly. Scorpions, you hang out with snakes.
I could take all that. I mean, you know, in Iraq, you can see, you know, tons of spiders, all this stuff, the snakes you can have.
So basically, you're Indiana Jones. Spiders give you the creeps, scorpions, and snakes.
No, spiders aren't the end of the world. Snakes are just, you can have them. I don't want anything to do with them or any, you know, anybody that really associates with them.
Yeah.
I don't want either.
See, here's my thing, though. Ryan, with a snake, you can kind of somewhat see, especially like the rattle ones, you know. You have the rattle. You can kind of hear that. For the most part, they do scurry away. Spiders are little camouflaging little things, dude. And especially like the whole scorpion thing, I'm out. I'm out.
Yeah, the heck with all... Terrible.
Okay.
Terrible. Just terrible.
Of all things in Iraq, the snakes is what you, apparently you still remember. Very well. Well, the good thing about it is Chicago is called the Hounds, so that's a good thing. Look, we talked to Nick Calling a little bit ago. We're going to be out there Friday. Maybe we'll get a chance to talk with Coach here as well and some of the players. But how do you feel the team sort of handled the bye week here?
Oh, I thought it was great. Much needed. I mean, obviously, four games in, you break it down to an NFL schedule, that's early, but there's two byes that we have throughout the course of our season, so that helped. And a couple guys getting, you know, nicked up here and there as far as some injuries, so it's good to get a week off, kind of unload for a little bit there to start off. So you kind of break the season into quarters like that, you know, four games in, and to go 3-1 and try to take a week off to get a little bit of healthy there. And I think we balanced it out well. Like, again, I keep on talking about the clarity there, but you know, we were talking about the bye week and preparing that bye week, you know, 2 weeks into the season already, you know. So it was good to reload, and now it came back. The guys are just guns blazing coming in here this week, you know. They're fired up and ready to get back at it. Once you do, you know, momentum's one of those things, hard thing to get, and it's an easy thing to lose, you know. So you want to, when you do have it, you want to keep it rolling. So.
It's crazy, Ryan. Speaking with Ryan Fitzgerald, GM of the NOLA Gold, that, you know, your quarter of the season done. You spend months planning, you know, going out there. You make the decision to bring in Corey Brown as a head coach and all of that. And then, boom, you got four games under your belt here. Kind of evaluate what you feel that you've seen the team that you've tried to put together here. What do you like? And then we'll get to maybe when you will see work on.
Yeah, well, the culture in the locker room is just, you know, outstanding. The competitive nature of everybody, but there's, you know, all egos are left at the door. We got probably one of the deepest team, if not the deepest team, I think, that we've ever had, or at least right there. And then, which, like I said, when injuries kind of, you know, show their face and everything like that, you know, it's good. The depth is massive. Again, and also with that depth, but I say it again, like the egos being left at the door. There's a lot of good players, a lot of World Cup rugby players, you know, type players, and international type players, players that are playing for their country and playing at the highest level. So, and sometimes they're playing at the same position. So there is a little bit of a rotation, and there is some balance, which is a good thing. It keeps the competitive nature going at training, and it also doesn't wear everybody out, because this is a journey and a marathon, not a sprint, you know, for this season. And then again, the clarity and everything. I think everybody, sometimes things can get frustrated from time to time throughout courses of the season if you're losing some games, and maybe there's some, you know, head scratching things of like, well, I thought I was supposed to do that, you know, kind of gets frustrating. And I think win, lose, or draw right now, there's 100% clarity. And I think from a player standpoint, that's all you can really ask for from the coaches. And I think from the coaches' standpoint, that's the only thing they can ask for from the players. true honesty, true clarity, and being competitive and being professional. And, you know, and I think that all those are the good formula. If you got that, if you got all that and you got a talented roster, I'm willing to take our chances and see where the chips fall.
Yeah, it's interesting. You bring up depth and Ryan. I mean, there's some players that have played for you guys for a while that they're still trying to earn some jerseys and getting some playing time in there to kind of give you the idea of the depth and quality you guys have, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's some guys that, maybe missing out, just barely missing out. Or you can tell they're coming. They're on the horizon. You know, maybe they haven't made it these first four games, but we're going to need them, no doubt, throughout the course of the season. And just kind of stick in there, hang in the fight, get every single rep that you can in training, ask every single question you can in the film room, because your time's going to come. And a lot of times when that happens, your time comes when it's at a crucial time, because maybe it might not be in the first four or five games. Because in theory, you usually start the season off as a whole pretty healthy. But then towards the back end, you see that in the NFL and stuff like that, too, to NBA. Sometimes rookies or new guys getting their first ever crack in a massive game or playoff-seeking game or in the playoffs, et cetera. So even though you might not have cracked that lineup just yet, hang in the fight because we're going to need you soon. And I think everybody has a very clear understanding of that.
Who are the Chicago Hounds, sir?
Very talented team. Last year was their first season. Had a really talented roster last year and this year. In fact, they spent some times where they showed some awesome talented moments. Where they can just put up some points and they can just play. And they sometimes this past weekend just didn't quite finish. I think it might have. They were up 26-0 at half and lost 32-26. So give up a 26-point lead unanswered in the second half. So there are some holes there from time to time where I think and obviously that's a devastating loss for them to have at home, blowing a 26-point lead at home. So now they got to come on down here. So hopefully we can use that. That's a little bit of, that's a definite morale, or I guess hurts the morale big time up there in Chicago, that hopefully they can come down here and we can jump on them early and seal the deal and finish it. But the very talented team, big. They're physical, they're tough, and like I said, sometimes they just leave a little bit of chinks in the armor, a little cracks in the levee there that maybe we can take advantage of.
Yeah. What do you think will be key for you guys? I mean, I'm just looking back at some of your games here as well. Fast starts, finishing, and closing kind of bookmarked a little bit, of your guys' first four games, where you kind of had a slow start that first game, a little better in that second. You wanted to finish and couldn't over there in New England, and you kind of did both against Dallas, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mean to be cliche, but yeah, all those terms right there, I would say D, all the above, I mean, who wouldn't want to get off to a fast start, an explosive start, and then also
and
finish
close
really,
the game.
Really strong?
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, what a genius, I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? Yeah, it's like in scouting sometimes in the NFL when we really like big offensive physical linemen. It's like, who doesn't? I don't know.
We really want speed at the skill position level, right?
Yeah, obviously.
Aggressive attackers on the defensive side.
On a quarterback that's smart with a really good arm.
And accurate too. We definitely want him to be accurate. Yeah. Oh, and a leader. You gotta have a leader.
Yeah. But I think, and obviously with Chicago, just watching them on film, I think that if we can remain patient too, because they're going to come out in the first half. Obviously, they just showed they put up 26 points against Seattle in the first half. They can come out and hang and bang with anybody. But if you can be patient and play in the right areas of the field with our kicking game and stuff like that, pin them to the corners, play in the right area of the field, and you get the halftime and right in there, and then they kind of go for the kill there in the second half, And like if they make mistakes, which from time to time they've been known to, where they just kind of maybe leave a gap or leave it a little bit of an opening or something like that, maybe we can strike there, So again, all the cliche terms, but it's all real. But that's the point. The cliche terms is the point, is the reality. The point of it is who can actually do that. Like we just talked about, I know we're joking, but starting strong and finishing strong, that's all great. That's all cliche or things like that, but it's actually who can actually do that. It sounds easier said than done, like, hey, let's just start really good and finish really well. But that's actually the name of the game, and that's what makes it tough.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, final thing before we let you go. Ryan Fitzgerald, general manager of the NOLA Golden Bowl. Hope to talk to Corey Brown, head coach, on Fridays. We'll be out there. Are we doing a party check? The weather's too nice. I say we do the party check. What do you think?
Sounds great. Wherever you want, man.
Hey, look, I'm going to enjoy it there on a Friday, but on a game day, what happens at the party shack?
Oh, party shack is rocking. It's awesome. It's a great place to come and be, especially even this weekend. We'll have free game. We'll have the tailgate. The party shack will be open. There'll be inflatables out in the outfield for the kids. There will be a little bit of touch rugby, flag rugby going down. It's going to be a great time. And I said, kicking off April 6th. First time Chicago's ever coming here. Obviously, last year, that was their first season. Mm-hmm. We went to them. They did not come here because we didn't have the divisions that we did this year. This year, obviously, with the realignment of the divisions, we're going there as well on Memorial Day weekend. But it's going to be an awesome time. The party shack is a great place to watch it in. Tailgate out in the outfield. Come on through. Get in and get in early. We need you right off the bat. It's Thursday or Saturday. That kickoff is at 3 p.m. Get in there. Get here early and tailgate. Get in there before kickoff so we can get that New Orleans crowd base and that noise and that volume and that momentum off and running early in that first 20 minutes. I think we can show Chicago. And we owe them one, too. We went up there. We went up there last year. We put a whooping on them and we beat them. But at the same time, you know the Chicago fans. They can heckle you. They can give it to you.
Oh, really?
Loved it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
did you get batteries thrown at you?
Yeah, exactly. No batteries that year, but so that's what I'm saying. I know Saints fans, I know New Orleans fans know about Chicago. Come on out and get a little revenge and get after them. Help us get after them this weekend at 3 o'clock at the Gold Mine.
Okay, there it is. As always, looking forward to it. I just got with Coach Corey Brown, who was busy in an appointment. I told him, I'll see you Friday over at the party shack. Man, looking forward to always doing the shows out there. Every Friday before the NOLA Gold play at home, you'll know, because the Sports Hangover will be at the Gold Mine on Airline. So looking forward to seeing you, Ryan.
Can't wait. Thanks a lot. All right, brother.
And for sure, 3 p.m. is kickoff there on Saturday. Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. We'll be there next Friday. Looking forward to that, as got a lot going on when we will be there here as well. As one of the things that we'll be doing is, I'm telling you, see, I was right. There absolutely is a pool there, a little test pool that they have. So, look, we're going to be hosting kayak demos there on the 12th in that demo pool, as well as 40% off winter jackets and camo. You can come check out the new spring inventory that's going to be in stock as well. Fishing apparel, hats, water shoes, and more. And find out how you can get fly fishing classes, local fly fishing opportunities, or actually go do all that stuff. I'm looking forward to that remote. That is next Friday. In the meantime, we'll take a quick break. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
As always, appreciate the time. Mr. Blake Dean, head coach of the Uno Privateers, can give us on Tuesdays we normally chat. Couldn't yesterday. His team did go out there, though, and take care of South Alabama at home and winning in 7 innings, 13-3. Won the series over the weekend. UIW, Coach, how are you this afternoon?
Doing good, man. How are you?
Doing well. How big was that that series win back last Easter weekend?
It was big. You know, after we go out there and sweep, we swept Nichols on the road to start it off. And then, you know, when you get that kind of momentum to start, you want to be able to carry it into the next weekend. And we actually, you know, almost lost the Sunday game. We had a big comeback in the ninth inning, but found a way to salvage the series and continue moving in the right direction.
It's kind of like one of the things we talked about last Tuesday, right? You're trying to get this young team and some guys that are maybe in situations or positions that you haven't had them in. There's only one way to learn that. That's through experience, Coach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's no doubt. I tell people all the time, you can talk about it, you can draw it up, but until they get in there and actually do it, you don't know what you got. So, you know, we're finding ways to deal with adversity and overcome it, and hopefully continue to win more games than we lose.
Look, when you can win in 7 innings, it's always a good thing, but what did you specifically like about the win last night against South Alabama?
I thought we went out and scored early. You know, we threw up a couple of hoops, just kind of started out. And then we went out and had a big home run in the first and capitalized and kind of went stale a little bit for a little while, then had another big six-run inning there. So, again, saw some good things from the guys. Taking better at-bats overall, being a little more consistent offensively. Just got to continue to do it and find ways to score more runs.
You're at Husky Field this weekend, taking on 8CU on Friday in a 2 o'clock game, Saturday 1 o'clock, Sunday 2 p.m. What kind of baseball team are they, sir?
Well, I tell people all the time, the Southland is so, it's tough. You never know what you're going to get. Now, obviously, Lance Bertman's the head coach there. Obviously, more probably an offensive team than they are typically pitching on the mound. But, they went in this past weekend to Hammond and took two or three from Southeastern. So, not somebody to take lightly by any means. We got to play good baseball. It's at their home park. We got to find a way, again, to kind of separate and create some depth for us in that win column in the conference.
What do you think will be key in that series? Is it just what you guys get on the mound, getting able to get some hits and that momentum continuing on the offensive end right now? See if that continues, because you seem to be putting up some runs here.
Yeah, I think we're doing well from the offensive standpoint. I think the key, for this weekend is getting into their bullpen. When the pitching numbers are typically not very good, they rely on their starters. And then, from the bullpen, typically they'll have a bullpen guy or two. But if we can kind of extend the starters a little bit, score some runs early, and get into the bullpen, I think it kind of sets us up for a better weekend of success if we can do that.
Blake Dean, head coach of the Uno Privateers, thanks for fitting in 5 minutes today, sir. I know you got meetings. I know you got all kind of things to get going, especially at road series. But Uno playing some pretty good baseball. Just wanted to sneak in. Thank you, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. We'll talk next weekend, next week, rather, as Uno now 17-11 on the season, 5-1 in conference play. Just getting hot at the right time, or just playing their better baseball than they were at the beginning of the season there. 800-998-1003. Hour one's brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Again, we'll be there next Friday. Looking forward to that. The Ruderman Ken caller and guest hotline, 800-998-1003. Apparently, this is a thing. I didn't know. There is a best teammate finalist or something. Pels just wrapped up shoot around, and Herb Jones was asked about Larry Nance being named a best teammate finalist.
The NBA put out a thing yesterday that Larry Nance is a finalist for teammate of the year. What do you think are some of the reasons why he was chosen as like a nominee for that award?
I mean, he's a great guy. I wasn't surprised at all, but I was asking the question on how to be a finalist for that. I feel like I'm a pretty good teammate. But obviously, Larry's a better teammate than I am, so I kind of aspire to be, a name on that list one day. But I mean, Larry's, he's a great guy, man. He's always bringing the positive energy, saying what needs to be said when it needs to be said. I mean, he's always, unapologetically him.
We have a marketing campaign this year for you for all first team all defense. Maybe next year they could do a teammate of the year campaign for you.
Yeah, I'm not too big into the campaigns, but if they decide to do it, I'm for it.
Well, what did you think about the t-shirts today that everyone's wearing?
It's cool. I thought it was a little bit too much, but I'm happy my teammates, and the entire organization is pushing the first team defense.
It's referring to the shirts. I don't know if you've seen it. If you went to the game on Monday, Theo, the hype man, was wearing it here as well. It's a lock, but the lock is made and shaped out of the words, not on Herb. So it's kind of cool. It's a cool shirt. I've asked the graph to try to swindle one for us, but we have yet to get one over on the broadcast side of things. No, but look, that's pretty cool to kind of hear Herb's demeanor and attitude on that. I love that. Yeah, I didn't realize I had best teammate. But yeah, it's probably all the different awards and things of nature that will be coming towards the end of the year. Is again, next week is the final regular season, if you can imagine, week of the regular season, which is kind of nuts when you think about it. The big news in the NFL that we kind of touched on is the fact that the Buffalo Bills traded Stephon Diggs, receiver, to the Houston Texans. Apparently, per some national reports, Josh Allen and he, a year ago, haven't been getting along. It was just time. The Bills are eating $30 million, $31 million, essentially, in dead money. So, kind of give you an idea. Now, they have the 28th overall pick, and a lot of attention is being paid to the picks, and more importantly, to the quarterbacks. Matt Miller on ESPN this morning was asked if all of the hype that you're hearing right now,
hype? As in, is it real? Is it not real? When it comes to perhaps J.J. Redick and also being able to see Michael Penix maybe move in, which is kind of weird when you think about it. Listen.
I would say McCarthy, the hype is legitimate in the sense of, you know, he's going to be a top six draft pick is where I would say right now. I started to say top 10, but top six is definitely where his range is at. That's, you know, based on, you know, and it was starting to be there back in January. I know we all have short-term memories, but back in January, that was where the conversation was at, and he's done nothing but solidify that. I think with Michael Penix, I mean, he, you know, had such a strong finish to the season, the game against Texas being one of the best passing performances of any player this year. You know, against Michigan, not as good of a game. I think, you know, arguably the worst game of his over the last 2 years. And then we see, you know, a strong combine, pretty good pro day. So he's definitely, you know, talented. And I think the biggest question for Penix will be the medicals, which, you know, Q, you and I have been doing this a long time. The medicals, we might not know until the draft.
Which I find interesting here as well, because Ian Rappaport just tweeted that the Raiders are hosting Michael Penix on a top 30 visit. He spent yesterday in Denver. Those are picks 12 and 13. Your New Orleans Saints have the 14th pick. It'll be interesting. Look, I played it yesterday. There's a lot of people think that he could be a first-round pick. Adam Schefter yesterday was saying that very thing, that there is a very real chance that Michael Penix goes into that first round. And if I'm looking at, like, Denver, who is their quarterback to begin with? And would you take a risk and go ahead and bring him in at 12? Can you risk not doing it? This is what Schefter said yesterday.
I think that Michael Penix is going to find his way into round one is the sound of it to me. Now, again, there's still 3+ weeks left in the process. Teams still are doing their evaluations and interviews and all sorts of work on various prospects, but I think Michael Penix has clearly impressed teams to the point where, to me, I think he's going to be a one.
It's interesting. And then Kimberly Martin, an ESPN NFL reporter, she said something this morning, too, that's very interesting. And again, look, this is the time, we call it the funny season. Who do you like? Who do you not like? Well, I really like this person a lot to make sure maybe somebody goes and gets that player so you can get another player. But listen to what she said.
I keep hitting people up like, but you know, Washington having Cliff Kingsbury, man, mm-hmm. like, I get it. Caleb, if I'm picking one, is the guy I would choose. But in my head, it just almost is like, that would be so wild if, like, draft day comes and for whatever reason, you have Caleb going to Washington somehow. Like, just,
wow.
Oh, no, whoa, whoa, this is not me reporting. Guys, hold, pause.
We're just speculating.
Pause. We are just saying, wouldn't that be crazy? Because I keep, you know, I keep hitting people up, like, I know Washington has this man's coach on the roster. Like,
and he's
like,
from there.
Hello! And that's what I say to people in the NFL, and they're like, stop being crazy. It's going to be Caleb. But I still reserve the right to think, wouldn't it be nice for Washington Commanders fans if somehow, some way, Caleb Williams ended up, like, day two of the draft, they're waking up and Caleb is their quarterback?
Would Washington move up one in order to do that? Again, in Chicago, you got to imagine would want something for you to move up one. Do you think the Bears would go Jane Daniels and not Caleb Williams? It'd be real interesting to see what happens there. And saw something else today. Drake May is now favorite to go number one overall, number two. It's the funny season. 3 weeks until the NFL draft. Hour one is in the books. Hour two next on ESPN New Orleans.